It was beautiful last weekend. The thoughts, beautiful. Going back to something from last week. So the number is 1414. The Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Before Holy Communion, I saw the Blessed Mother, inconceivably beautiful, smiling at me. She said to me, "My daughter, at God's command, I'm to be, in a special and exclusive way, your mother. But I decide then you to, in a special way, be my child. So, our Heavenly Mother, take us special. Do we find her special? One of the not special. Oh no. Should be special, no? Yeah. I desire, my dear beloved daughter, that you practice the three virtues that are dearest to me and more pleasing to God. The first is humility. Humility. And once again, humility. The second virtue, purity. The third virtue, love for God. As my daughter, you must especially radiate with these virtues." When the conversation ended, she pressed me to her heart and disappeared. When I regained the use of my senses, my heart became so wonderfully attracted to these virtues, and I practiced them faithfully. They are as though engraved in my heart. Try to do the same. This has been a great day for me. During this day, I remained as though in a ceasing contemplation. The very thought of this grace drew me into further contemplation. And throughout the whole day, I continued in thanksgiving, which I never stopped, because each recollection of this grace caused my soul ever anew to lose itself in God. Always new. The love of God, not all things, not of yesterday, right now, fresh, always refreshed. Don't think to yesterday I have a very good meditation and that every day is a new meditation, a new spirit. Oh my Lord, my soul is the most wretched of all, and yet you stoop to it with such kindness. I see clearly your greatness and my littleness, and therefore I rejoice that you are so powerful and without limit. And so I rejoice greatly at being so little. O suffering Christ, I am going out to meet you. As a bride, I must resemble you. Your cloak of humility must cover me too. O Christ, you know how ardently I desire to become like you. Grant that your entire passion may be my lot. May all your sorrow be poured into my heart. I trust that you will complete this in me in the way you deem most fitting. Today there was nocturnal adoration. I could not take part in it because of my poor health. But before I fell asleep, I united myself with the sisters who were at the adoration. Between 4 and 5 o'clock, I was suddenly awakened, and I heard the voice telling me to join those who were adoring at that time. I understood that there was among them a soul who was praying for me. So last week I said, you mentioned, no? There was some on Saturday night, Friday night, there are somebody in the chapel, not too many, one or two, two or three. They're praying for us. So when you awaken, remind yourself, there are people praying for you. When I steeped myself in prayer, I was transported in spirit to the chapel where I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in the monstrance. In place of the monstrance, I saw the glorious face of the Lord. And he said to me, "What you see in reality, these souls see through faith. Oh, how pleasing to me is their great faith. You see, although there appears to be no trace of life in me, in reality, it is present in its fullness and in each and every host. But for me to be able to act upon a soul, the soul must have faith. Oh, how pleasing to me is living faith." So we have to believe. Those taking part in the adoration at that time were Mother Superior and a few other sisters. But I recognized that it was Mother Superior's prayer which had moved heaven, and I rejoiced that they are souls so pleasing to God. When during recreation the next day, I asked which sisters had been adoration before, between 4 and 5 o'clock, one of the sisters cried out, "Why do you ask, sister? Perhaps you had some revelation?" I fell silent and said no more. Although I was asked by Mother Superior, I could not answer because it was not a suitable moment. Curiosity. On a certain occasion, one of the sisters, Sister Damien, confided to me that she wanted to choose a certain priest as her confessor. Really pleased, she shared the news with me and asked me to pray for that intention. And so I promised her to do so. During prayer, I learned that soul would gain no spiritual profit from this direction. And then the next time we met, she told me again of her great joy in being under his direction. I joined in her joy. But when she had left, I was severely rebuked. Jesus told me to tell her what he had given me to know during prayer, which I did at the first opportunity, although it cost me a great deal. Today, for a short while, I experienced the pain of the crown of thorns. I was praying for a certain soul before the Blessed Sacrament at that time. In an instant, I felt such a violent pain that my head dropped onto the altar rail. Although this wound was very brief, it was very painful. "Christ, give me souls. Let anything you like happen to me, but give me a soul in return. I want the salvation of souls. I want souls to know your mercy. I have nothing left for myself because I have given everything away to souls, with the result that on the day of judgment, I will stand before you empty-handed. Since I have given everything away to souls, thus you will have nothing on which to judge me, and we shall meet on that day, love and mercy." A genuine love for Jesus. "No, I have nothing." Left-handed. It's a poem. "Hidden Jesus, knife of my soul, object of my ardent desire. Nothing will stifle your love in my heart. The power of our mutual love assures me of that. Hidden Jesus, glorious pledge of my resurrection. All my life is concentrated in you. It is you, O host, who empower me to love forever. And know that you will love me as your child in return. Hidden Jesus, my purest love, My life with you has begun already here on earth, and I will become fully manifest in eternity to come, because our mutual love will never change. Here, Jesus, so desire of my soul, you alone are to me more than the delights of heaven. My soul searches for you only, who are above all gifts and graces, you who come to me under the form of bread. Hidden Jesus, take at last to yourself my thirsting heart, which burns for you with pure fire of seraphim, and go through life in your footsteps, invincible, with head held high like a light, feeble made though I be. So, sentiment towards the Blessed Sacrament. For a month now, I've been feeling worse. Every time I cough, I feel my lungs disintegrating. It sometimes happens that I feel the complete decay of my own corpse. It's hard to express how great the suffering this is. Although I fully agree to this with my will, it's nevertheless a great suffering for nature, greater than wearing a hair shirt or a flagellation to the point of blood. I felt it especially when I was going to the refectory. It took great effort for me to eat anything because food made me sick. I also started at this time to suffer from pains in my intestines. Old, highly seasoned dishes caused me such immense pain that I spent many nights writhing in pain and in tears for the sake of sinners. However, I asked my confessor that what to do, whether I should continue to suffer this for the sake of sinners or ask the superiors for an exception by way of milder food. He decided I should ask the superiors for milder food, and thus I followed his directions, seeing that this humiliation was more pleasing to God. One day, I began to doubt as to how it was possible to feel this continual decaying of the body, and at the same time to be able to walk and work. Perhaps this was some kind of an illusion, yet it cannot be an illusion because it causes me such terrible pains. As I was thinking about this, one of the sisters came to converse with me. After a minute or two, she made a terrible real face and said, "Sister, I smell a corpse here," as though it were decaying. Oh, how dreadful it is. So her body gives this smell of like a corpse, decaying corpse. You can imagine. I said to her, "Do not be frightened, sister. That smell of a corpse comes from me." She was very surprised and said she could not stand it any longer. After she had gone, I understood that God had allowed her to sense this so that I would have no doubt, but that he was no less than miraculously keeping the knowledge of this suffering from the whole community. Oh my Jesus, only you know the full depth of this sacrifice. So she really is dying, but still can work and walk. Nevertheless, when in the refectory, I still had to bear being the object of the frequent suspicion that I was being fussy about my food. At such times, as always, I hastened to the tabernacle and bowed before the ciporium, and there draw strength to accept God's will. That which I have written is not yet everything. Today, during confession, breaking the wafer with me spiritually, he gave me the following wishes be as faithful as you can to the grace of God. Secondly, beg God's mercy for yourself and for the whole world, because we are all in great need of God's mercy. 2 days before Christmas, these words were read in the refectory. Tomorrow is the birth of Jesus Christ according to the flesh. As these words, my soul was pierced by the light and love of God, and again, deeper knowledge of the mystery of incarnation of the Son of God. How great is the mercy of God contained in the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. Today, the Lord gave me knowledge of His anger toward mankind, which it deserved to have its days shortened because of its sins. But I learned that the world's existence is maintained by chosen souls, that is, the religious orders. Woe to the world when there will be a lack of religious orders. Sister, what paradise give to you? We need the religious orders that the world can still sustain otherwise. I perform each deed in the face of death. I do it now as I would want to see it in my last hour. Although life, like the wind, will pass swiftly by, no need undertaking for God's spirit, for God will perish. I feel the complete decay of my organism. Although I am still living and working, death will be no tragedy for me, because I have long felt it. She's already dead. Her corpse is decaying. She lives, but you know, she lives with death. That's a sense of suffering. Although it is very unpleasant for nature to constantly smell one's own corpse, she smells it. Yeah, yet it is not so terrible when the soul is filled with God's light. So although you're so weakened, but you have the spirit, no? You have the God give you all the light. Because in it, faith, hope, love, and contrition are awakened. Daily I make great efforts to take part in community life, thereby gaining graces of souls for souls' salvation, shielding them by my sacrifice from the fire of hell. For the salvation of even a single soul is worth the sacrifice of lifetime and the bearing of greatest sacrifices and torments, seeing how great glory it gives God. She's so generous, eh? Always, nothing for herself. Lord, although you often make known to me the thunders of your anger vanishes before lowly souls. Although you are great, Lord, you allow yourself to be overcome by lowly and deeply humble soul. The petition of the humble soul, God surrender. O humanity, the most precious of virtues, how few souls possess you. I see only a semblance of this virtue everywhere, but not the virtue itself. Lord, reduce me to nothingness in my own eyes, that I may find grace in yours. Christmas Eve. After Holy Communion, the Mother of God gave me to experience the anxious concern she had in her heart because of the Son of God. But this anxiety was permeated with such frequency of abandonment to the will of God that I should call it rather delight than an anxiety. I understood how my soul ought to accept the will of God in all things. It is a pity I cannot write this the way I experienced. My soul was plunged into deep recollection in all day long. Nothing could tear me away from this recollection. Neither duties nor the business I had with lay people. Before supper, I went into the chapel for a moment to break the wafer spiritually with those beloved persons, so dear to my heart, though far away. First, I steeped myself in profound prayer and asked the Lord for graces for them all as a group, and then for each one individually. Jesus gave me to know how much this pleased him, and my soul was filled with even greater joy to see that God loves in a special way those whom we love. After I had gone into the refectory during the reading, my whole being found itself plunged in God. In theory, I saw God looking at us with great pleasure. I remained alone with the Heavenly Father. At that moment, a deeper knowledge of the three divine persons whom we shall contemplate for all eternity, after millions of years, shall discover